Well, we're not in that land where we never grow old yet. But there's a part of me that don't grow old. That which is born of God don't grow old. It's eternal, and I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate Brother Farrell having enough confidence in me to let me come up here and be a part of this. We've tried to be a support and help to the ministry here and the radio ministry as it goes out in this part of the country, and now in our part of the country via internet and streaming abilities. So I've really enjoyed the years after having getting to know Brother Farrell, and I appreciate him having enough confidence in me to let me come preach, be a part of this. And we all good? We good? If I'll take it off and throw it away. Up? You sure? Okay, right there. All right. You trying to get it where Brother Herb can hear it? Okay. I was saying he had enough confidence and let me come. Somebody asked me at our meeting last month, said, did God tell you, we had 15 or 20 preachers. Yeah. Did God tell you what preacher to use? I said, nope, God don't tell me what preacher to use. And they said, well, how do you know who to preach? I said, I just try to put the man in the spot where he's going to do the least amount of damage. No, we do pray about who preaches and when they preach, and the Lord lays it on our hearts. And anyway, I appreciate that, and I'm thankful to be here tonight. You know how to have a good spiritual service, don't you? You got to get the Holy Spirit involved. Right. A lot of people pray for the pastor or the preacher to have the Spirit on them, but you know, the congregation needs to have the Spirit on them too. I just noticed when the Holy Ghost fell on them in Acts chapter 2, it fell on all of them. And then when Peter preached, 3,000 got saved, he got on all of them. So the congregation is just as much involved in this. And what we need to not have a dead service is a living God in the middle of this thing. I'm praying for that tonight. We're going to be in the book of Philippians if you'd like to open your Bible. We've got work to do here this evening. We got work to do tonight after this is over. Still work to do in what the church is doing here in with the ministry of the radio broadcast and all that goes on there. And so we don't want to use up God's time with a bunch of foolishness. I do enjoy having a good time. But when it's time to work, it's time to go to work. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, going to read verses 3 through 11 and find our text verse in verse 5. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, amen, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight for a little bit on your fellowship in the gospel. Your personal fellowship in the gospel. My fellowship in the gospel. I think a lot of times we read over terms like this and we don't make much about it. But we need to consider and think about what God's saying. Let the Holy Spirit help us have a teachable spirit and understand that we all together, individually and as our in churches. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi here. And they were very instrumental in the fellowship of the gospel as he went into other places. Okay. They were used. Matter of fact, he says in the end of this book, he says, no other church, communicated with me, but ye only. Their fellowship in the gospel. What we're doing here this weekend. And really what we do in all of our labors for the Lord is we are participating one with another in the fellowship of the gospel. We're not just gathered up here for a social gathering. We don't just come together because we like one another. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the Lord, y'all probably wouldn't like me and I wouldn't like you. We're not here socially. This is not an organization or some man-made club that we come up with. And you, somebody likes you and you invite them. And so they come down here because they like your personality or they like who you are. You're wired up like them. That's the way the world operates. Folks, we don't operate like that. We're like those waters of Marah, the waters of Marah, which were bitter. And God told Moses, cut that tree down, throw it in there, and it was made sweet. What makes this thing, what sweetens it up for me and you is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Holy Ghost of God. And God has called us into a labor. And it's by His design. God has ordained the means to bring about the desired end. He didn't leave it up with one man. He didn't leave it up with somebody with a good charisma or personality or some psychological ability to persuade men. He left it in the hands of His church. That's by His design. The work of the Lord for today and the only teaching institution today that's authorized and ordained and empowered by God is done in and through the church. And subsequently, the fellowship of like churches. Not the fellowship of all things that call themselves a church. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But the fellowship of churches of like practice and faith and doctrine and belief. Okay? And that's by God's design. And if God's work's going to get done, that's the way it's going to get done. And man can do whatever he wants to. Do you know you with children here, Lord's blessed us with a lot of little ones coming up and growing up. And do you know that this is the only thing that you can do on this earth that has eternal purpose and meaning? I don't care what else you do with your children. I don't care what else you do with your life. This is all that you can do that has eternal purpose and meaning. I mean, something you can invest in that has eternal purpose in it. God saved us on purpose. And He gave us a purpose. He gave my life purpose and meaning when He saved my soul. When he brought me into the fellowship of the church where I was saved and subsequently churches where I've been a member since then and in the fellowship that I'm in, I'm doing what I do on purpose. I'm up here on purpose. I mean, the invitation was given and I wanted to come. This is God's work. I'm a part of this work down in Louisiana. I met Brother Shepherd down in Amory, Mississippi. And, of course, he wouldn't have nothing to do with me for the first couple of years. And so I moved in behind him sitting on the pew. And while the preacher was preaching, I preached in his ear.
That's right.
And I just kept preaching to him. And he and I got close because I sat behind him and warded him the whole time the preacher was preaching. And we got to preaching to each other and
Amen.
Talking about the preacher that was preaching. And we come to understand we believe the same thing. And so, but I got to know him. And I engaged to be a part of this fellowship. Now that takes time, folks. You gotta try the spirits. You don't just take any preacher that comes to because they say, I'm a preacher, I'm an independent Baptist. That don't mean nothing to me. I mean, you've got to know who you're dealing with. It takes time. You have to understand what they believe, what they're about. Are they close enough in faith and practice and belief that we can have fellowship? And not everybody you know is that way. It's just not the way it is. But this is the fellowship of the gospel, and we are doing something with eternal purpose.
Amen.
That drives me every day.
Amen.
When I get up in the morning and get ready to go to work, and I go out into labor and secular work, it is so I can do God's eternal purpose.
That's right.
What I'm doing for God. I don't just go out there to make a living, to have a home, and to buy things, and to exist upon this earth. That's what the world does. What we do as Christians, we take all that we're involved in raising our families and in our lives and in our work and all that we do, and it's for the purpose of God. We have an eternal purpose, and we've got a short time to accomplish the purpose of God in our lives. So what we have to do is make the most of the time that we have. I mean, you got to invest in the time that God gives you. But our days are growing long. The older you get, the less you're able to do physically, and we get that way mentally and in every other way. So you have to do what you can do when you can do it. And take advantage of it. I mean, and you don't have to wait till the opportunity comes to you. You make those opportunities happen. A lot of times in churches, especially in days gone by, pre-COVID, we got into this mentality that we're going to get ready. We're going to meet up here at your church on Saturday or Thursday or whenever, and we're going to go out and witness for the Lord. Well, I'm not opposed to that, but you're just availing yourself to that one opportunity. Do you know that every day that you walk out of your house and you go out into this world, you're a witness for the Lord? I found out nothing wrong with having visitation. But I found out you're on visitation every day. I mean, in your job, in your work, in your world, in your family, in your acquaintances, you are on visitation every day. Take that opportunity as you are out there to invest in the purpose of God, what He has given for us to do. That's what I'm doing here. I'm here to fellowship you in the gospel. Take advantage of that. Move into that area where you can best operate and do in your service for the Lord. You have to do that. You have to. Jesus told the disciples, He says, the fields are white under harvest. Lift up your eyes and look up. Just look out there. It's all around you. You just have to avail yourself of it. He called those apostles and He said, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. That's what we're doing. We're serving God. We're giving Him His due worship and service of our life. And we are fishing for other men. God said, preach the gospel. Now we live in a time when they have flooded the airwaves with wickedness. Perversion. I'm talking about unprecedented ungodliness. Satanic, demonic, Fox News, every news, when you hear all this push today in the woke, mentality, which is nothing more than satanic possession of people in their minds and in their bodies for this so-called transgender, when you hear the news, I'm not talking about going to school and learning how to be that through one of these colleges. I'm talking about just listening to it on the news. That is Satan, and he is possessing the minds of people with this filth and with this garbage. And folks, they have a huge platform. Matter of fact, the devil is the prince of the power of air. He's got the airwaves, okay? But he don't have all the airwaves. And what we're doing here in this radio ministry and as we go out through the internet, what we are doing here is like what Paul and Barnabas did as the first missionaries that God called out of the church in Antioch. When God sent them out, the whole known Gentile world was dark. It was wicked. Read the letter to the church of Corinth. Read what they were doing up there in them big temples. Go to Ephesus and read what's going on. That's straight where God sent Paul and Barnabas. I mean, he went into these places where idolatry was rampant, where sexual perversion was it was just openly practiced. What you see today in America, that's not new. That's new to America. Because of, you know, we've had some standards of morals in days gone by that we don't have now. But when Paul went to, and Barnabas and those that went with him, when they went into Asia Minor and then up into Europe, it was as pitch black, wicked, dark as it is today. And they had a very small platform from a human standpoint to let their light shine. Okay? It was those men, and just in that first missionary endeavor in the book of Acts, it was just those few men. And that's all it was. But that little light that they had dispelled great darkness in the known world. Can I tell you here tonight that this little light of this radio ministry, this church ministry, and all of our local church ministries, if you weigh it in the balance, it seems as nothing in all the darkness that's out there in the media and the voices that are going out. We seem as nothing, but know this, brethren, that a little bit of light dispels a great big darkness. You cut everything out in here, let me strike a match, and you can see. Just a little light. And so God takes the light that we have, and He shines in a great dark world. And what we are doing is fellowshipping with God in the gospel. What we're doing, we are doing on purpose. If this church was involved in this to make a great success, as it were, in the eyes of men, I wouldn't be here tonight. I've got that down there where I live. I know other places where men make a name for themselves. I don't fellowship that. I don't fellowship everything that calls itself Christian. I'm just not going to do it. If it's not biblical, scriptural, I'm not that desperate. And I know God ain't that desperate. God has got people, a remnant scattered all over this world. There are good missionaries going everywhere. You support those missionaries. And what we're doing what the script, let's do what the Bible says. Let's be scriptural in what we do. If you want the Holy Spirit of God to bless what you're doing, you're going to have to do it by the scriptures. This is our faith and practice. Not what they're doing down the road that's real successful. We've got to do it according to the scripture. And God has designed it that when you do it His way, He gets the glory, not you. We don't seek glory. When we look at ourselves, we're ashamed of who we are. Man, I'm not a... Who am I to preach, to talk publicly? I'm not a public speaker. There are those out there, there are men that are very good at that, women that are very good at that, and they're very successful. But see, God don't call people like that. God don't call somebody that's good at it when he's lost in his sins and make a good preacher out of him. God calls not many wise men, not many noble men, not many mighty men. And God has chosen the base things of this world and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise in their wisdom. That no flesh should glory in His presence. And so we're fit candidates to do what God has called us to do. We're not glory seekers. We're seeking His glory. And so though we live in a time of great darkness, what we are about in the fellowship one with another in the gospel dispel our small voices comparatively dispels great darkness, as it were, in our world. Right. Now you don't see that because they're overrunning us now. This thing has got into our school system. It's perversion and wickedness and ungodliness, and a lot of this is our federal government and our state governments, and tied to the economy and money and educational system and all that kind of stuff. And we see that they are prevailing against us. But God has not left us alone. God has not left us without means. There's things yet in America that you can do to offset all this wickedness that's going on. And you ought to do it. I mean, we was talking today about cremation. That's just something that everybody's doing now because it's so-called cheap. And I just tell people all the time, every time I get around the so-called cremation, which is not a burial, it's a burning. I just use the opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I called a man day before yesterday, talked to him a little while, and somebody that we both knew died. Lady lived 94 years. Good testimony. Sweet lady. I grew up in the community where she was at, and I called and told this other man that she died. He didn't know it. And he said, are they going to bury her? See, that there used to never be a question. There was no other means. Nobody thought about burning a body. And so he said, are they going to bury her? I said, well, of course they're going to bury her. And he said, I don't think I'm going to get buried. I'm going to get cremated. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I said, if you die before I do, you're not. I said, I'm not going to let them do it to you. He professes to be a Christian. And I said, hey, did the Lord Jesus Christ get cremated? Was Jesus burnt and his ashes spread over the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus Christ was buried. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people have always buried their dead. Here's his first reply. It's so expensive. I said, it don't cost as much as your bass boat. You bought it. I said, it don't cost near as much as that tractor you bought. And it don't cost as much as that four-wheeler you got. And I tell you something else. It don't cost as much to bury somebody as it did that horse you bought. And we'll spend our money on things that we want to, but when it comes to having a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, so-called Christians ain't got enough sense to know that you ain't supposed to burn your mama up. And you're not supposed to burn your brothers up. And you're not supposed to burn your family. And churches and pastors ought to stand up and preach. We believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was buried and was raised again the third day. And we ought to have enough spirit about us to take advantage in a dark world. That's where I live, that's prevalent. I mean, that is, it's all just about gone to that. Let me give you a little personal testimony. I was coming up, preach a meeting, and I got about 7-8 hours from the house, driving. One night about 10 o'clock, my little brother called me. He said, our older brother got run over and killed, dead, run over in the road. Of course, you know, I was close to him. It just breaks my heart. I have to turn around, go back home. I get home, drive all night, get in. I call my dad. My mother had already passed. And I called my dad, and I said, was talking to him. He said, now, son, he said, his daughter and his ex-wife are going to have him cremated. And I said, Daddy, I'm not doing that. He said, well, son, she's done called and said that's what they're going to do, and they're going to go to the funeral home today. I said, I'm not giving into that. I'm just not giving. They're not going to burn my brother. They're not going to burn him like he's a piece of garbage. And she was embarrassed of his life, her own daddy, and the daughter was running this deal, and she didn't want to have a funeral, have to face. One thing she didn't want to face is she didn't want to face Uncle Jamie, because we excluded her from church for ungodly living, and they wasn't going to let me preach it. And so she didn't want to face me, and she didn't want to face other people, and she had kind of elevated in life society. And so she was just going to have no funeral, no wake, no memory, no nothing, just going to have a cremation on my brother. I told my daddy, I ain't doing it. I don't know how much we're going to fight. I don't know what we're going to do, but I ain't doing that, Daddy. I said, we're not burning him. I'll pay for it. I'll take the whole cost, the whole thing. I was just weeping and crying. We're not going to burn my brother's remains. And we need to have that kind of stuff down on the inside of us to stand up to that. And this reprobate bunch is running around teaching this transgender and this messed up children's stuff and little boys, they don't know if they're girls and don't put their name on a birth certificate and all this kind of stuff. God's people need to stand up. And if you can't stand up and say it, just stand behind your preacher while he says it. He'll raise up somebody to say it. We need to take a stand in these wicked, dark days that we're living in. And fellowship in the gospel ain't just running down the church and listen to a preacher say something for a little while on Sunday morning, throwing a little money in the offering, and you calling that's the fellowship of the gospel. That's not all there is to it. Matter of fact, most of that slop that God don't take anyway. Let me tell you what God ain't going to do. He ain't going to take the slop that you throw him and tell him, here it is, God, this is what I'm going to give you. He don't even look at that. Right. Amen. If your heart ain't in it, he ain't in it. Right. He says, whatsoever your hand finds, do it with all your might. And we're so desperate today to have numbers and have a little offering and have a little of this. I tell you what, if preachers would get out and go to work, they wouldn't be so hard up for money. Amen. You say, well, I think a man ought to live with the gospel. Well, Paul, he's the one that wrote that, but he worked with his hands when he had to. And if you pastor a church where it takes full-time responsibility, I'm for it for the church to take care of. But I'm against it. These no good for nothing, lazy, no good, so-called hirelings that won't get out and use their hands to make a living so they can go do visitation or go to the hospital. How much hospital work you got? They won't even let me in the hospital down there because of COVID. Amen. I tell you, we do what it takes to do to get the gospel out. That's what we do. And preachers need to set the example of that. Amen. We need to do that. We need to show our people that we're willing to do whatever it takes to get this gospel. So we're involved in something with eternal purpose. We ain't up here henpecking around. I didn't come up here to visit with Brother Steve Vincent. I could hear him on the radio, him and Farrell going back and forth to each other. Amen. I come up here to be in on what God is doing. And when I go to Pollard and when I go to other churches and I go to North Carolina, I go to wherever somebody might let me go. And a lot of times they don't let me go. I just go anyway. I'm going with the in my mind for the eternal purpose of God. I'm raising my grandkids like that. I'm trying to lead my church like that. This is the only thing that has eternal purpose in. Let me say something. It's a shame and a disgrace that a fellowship as big as ours, and I'm relatively new here, 10 or 12 years, but I'm involved in a lot of these churches that we're all, it's a shame and a disgrace that we have to sit on the radio for 3 days and beg, plead, scrape, and cry, and squall around, try to get enough money to keep this radio going. Amen. This ain't only given to individuals. It's given to churches. And there's some folks listening here tonight, supposed to be listening on this radio tonight, to go to some churches. And these churches need to stand up. And some do. And I'm thankful for them. But folks, this ought to be relatively easy in the scope of everything. We're just too selfish and stingy. And what happens is, we get so messed up in our life that we can't give God what He's due. And we're paying for the world. And we're paying for our children. And we're paying for mistakes. And we're paying for this. And we're paying for that. And we're paying for fun. And we're paying for pleasures. And God gets cut out of this deal. Folks, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Amen. I can tell you tonight before God, and I'm not boasting, but I'm debt free. I've been debt free for a long time, and God's in it, and that is an exercise that you take up on yourself. That means I don't have a lot of things, the properties that this world's got. But being that away, I'm not a great burden on my church. Amen. We've got a young church. We don't have an older membership church. We've got a younger membership church. As a matter of fact, me and my wife's the oldest ones there. So that tells you, that tells you how old I am. And so I'm able, and God has enabled me to use what I do, secular work, for ministry. Amen. I can't tell you what kind of a witness it is to go help somebody when a tree fell through their house, and you go over there, some widow woman, and her children's all standing around half naked and tattooed up and smoking crack and everything else. And you go in there and you find out about it and she's crying and weeping and talking about selling property or doing something to get her roof fixed. No, I tell you what, we'll take care of your roof. And you go over there and you fix a roof for her because she's a widow in need. God didn't say pure religion undefiled for God and the Father this to visit the righteous widows in their affliction, and the widows of your church in their affliction. He said to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. And you go over there, and you tell them, and I don't even tell them I'm a preacher, because right then they stigmatize me. Right now I'm over here to fix this house. And when I get done, and somebody comes around and says something, and they find out I'm a preacher, here's the first thing they say, where do you preach? Where do you preach? What time's y'all services? You can't believe the people's come in. Not all of them get saved. But they come down there and hear preaching. What I'm talking about, that's a witness. That's not just using my mouth to talk to somebody. That is putting my hands to work to have a witness for God. Eternal purpose and meaning is what I'm looking at. And so in verse 3 here of our text, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, I get up in the morning time and go to work early. And I found out I didn't even know what streaming was. I had no idea what all that was. But I found out I could stream prayer time from this ministry of this church in the morning. So every morning when I get up, I turn it on. If the internet ain't down, you know. If the internet's down, I go to texting. I can't hear you. Or he'll Brother Farrell come on there and he'll say, I don't know if I can hear myself. I can hear you good. Just keep, here we go. And I hear what's going on here. And I give requests. And so when we had that prayer time, he's leading here in prayer. See, that's a big deal, folks. That prayer time has eternal purpose and meaning, and I've got people down there tuned into it. And so when I hear that, what do? I think about Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for you. I thank God for, man, I would 10 times rather start my day out and hearing prayer and as I'm getting ready and getting about going to work, sanctifying my day and going through that than I would be listening to some reprobate newscaster tell me they burned another city down last night or they stole another election. Amen. I'd 10 times rather hear the prayer time. See, that's fellowship in the gospel. And my wife is a witness. Every morning I listen to this. I listen to preachers here that pray. I know Brother Herb preaches on Saturday afternoon. Brother Bell preaches on Saturday evening. Brother Shepherd preaches Saturday night. Fellowship in the gospel. Engaging it. Putting your hands to it. Now I know I'm preaching to the church that's doing it. But I'm going out over their ways and there's some other people listening to this that need to hear it. Are you fellowshipping the gospel more than just showing up at church for a few hours, dragging around, acting like you hate being there? Amen. Can't wait till it's over. We can get out of here. Boy, I don't do good with that kind of stuff. That's what I call a big batch of slop. God ain't having that kind of stuff. We need to, the Bible says, come before my presence with singing, enter into my presence with thanksgiving. Paul said, I will therefore, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Amen.
First of all, you come in like that. I tell my church, when you come through that door, I'm watching everybody come through, and you better come through with a grateful look on your face. Do not come in here. It ain't got nothing to do with me. If I ain't there, you come through that door, you're grateful to be here. You're thankful to be here. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a blessing. You know, folks, listen to me. This is the truth, and I hate to say this, but there's people in the fellowship that I'm in the fellowship with that when I remember them and think about them, I don't want to have fellowship with them. They drag you down. I'm not talking about people need a pickup. I'm not talking about people we need to comfort pickup. I'm talking about old sour pusses. I'm talking about people that just gripes and complains and murmurs and talks about their husband. Amen. Gripes about their kids. Tells you every old wicked thing their old kids and grandkids ever done. They ain't telling you for prayer. They just old gossipers. Amen. Old henpecked men coming to church wouldn't say amen sitting by their wife because he's scared she's going to slap him. I don't do good with folks like that. I don't thank my God upon every remembrance of them. I think I need to pray for them. See, we put up with this stuff. Our forefathers wouldn't put up with that junk. We done got invested so deep financially into these things that we just can't, you know, we can't, don't alarm nobody. I mean, don't make anybody unsettled because they may not give. Well, maybe we need to get this thing trimmed down a little bit. But anyway, what a blessing that I can come up here to Madisonville, Kentucky and say, I thank my God upon remembrance of you. It ain't just Brother Shepherd. We're close. We've gotten close. You know, I'm a lot closer to you because I hear what's going on here. I didn't know Brother Jacob. I thought he was Brother Jeb or Brother Jeff or Brother Jethro. That's what Brother Herbert calls him. But now I know it's Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Well, see, I hear all that. And so I remember that. And it draws me. I'm engaging this thing. Not for what I get out of it. I don't want nothing from it. I want to put something in it. I mean, I want to serve my God in and through it. And there's a particular reason why I have focused in on this church. So he says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I want to pray with joy. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness. And joy. I want to be able to think about the Island Ford Baptist Church with joy. Making requests for you with joy. Now there's some of my prayers right now. I've got people on my heart. There ain't no joy there. I'm afraid. I'm pleading with God. I'm asking God to hedge it about. Bless it, Lord. They're stupid. They've made stupid decisions. They've messed their life up. It's going south. It's going wrong. There ain't no joy in that. A lot of fear right there. And he says, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when I pray, Lord, I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting you at all. I have perfect belief that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. But I'm not making requests in that situation in joy. Here, folks, y'all, me and my wife's coming up here. And she says, James, put your earplugs in. I'm taking a nap. I'm listening to this marathon. I want to know what's going on. I want to know where we're at, what's going on, what we're doing, who's involved. And I'm rejoicing in that. It is a joy. If people would get their heart right with God, they can enjoy the service of the Lord. Even the giving part. Amen. And so he says, with joy, serving God with joy. Do you know that spiritual health in a local church and in the fellowship of churches is based, the spiritual health is based on fellowship. You think about fellowship. I know a lot of people that get together out of grudging necessity. It's just time to do it. We got a meeting. We got a conference. We got this. And they grudgingly, what they call, come together. And you can tell, you can sniff that stuff out. The devil makes sure everybody understands when we're not synced up like we ought to be. What a blessing it is to fellowship one another. I tell you, it's the spiritual health of the church to have sweet church fellowship. And it's the spiritual health of the fellowship of churches to have that good fellowship. And so how do we have that? Well, one way that we have good fellowship is we don't focus on each other. If all I did is come down here and focus on Brother Herbert Williamson, I'm sure I could find something to gripe about. But I come down here and put my focus on the Lord. I think about some grandkids of mine that's not saved. And I want to invest in heavenly things. And I want God to see me trying to get your grandkids saved. And see them trying to get this hand down the road saved. And so God will see me trying to get other folks saved. And he'll work in saving my children and grandchildren. Amen. If you think all this is about you, no. It's about way more than just you. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And so what we're saying here tonight is the fellowship of the gospel, our fellowship in the gospel. It's not just a social gathering. And so then Paul says over here, well, let me just read on. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so they got on board quick. Then he says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Now we quote that verse 6, about security of the believer and what God begun in you, he will perform and all that. But really, in the context it's given, it's talking about the fellowship of the gospel. God began this in us. What I'm here doing, God began in me. God began this in me before I knew you. And God has brought us together in the fellowship. And God is able to perform that good thing which he hath begun in me, which is the fellowship in the gospel. He's able to perform that. And so we have to be aware of these things. Then he says in verse 7, and this is one reason I'm tied to this fellowship. I want to bring this out tonight as a word of, buttressing up what you're doing here. He says, until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, now Paul's in prison, but then he says, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know why I lead my church to support this ministry? Because you defend the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel that this church preaches and the preachers that this church unites with in radio ministry and mission work and all that, though I have judged those things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not one of these preachers that says, you're not supposed to judge. I judge everything.
That's right.
I judge everything, and you judge with righteous judgment. You judge charitably, and you judge like you want to be judged. And so I tell you, you judge me, I judge you. I mean, not in the condemnation sense or that I'm the final judge in this and you're wicked and going to hell when you die. We're not talking about that. We're talking about discernment. You brethren, defend the gospel. I have heard your pastor say it many times. I've heard the preachers that preach on this radio many times. I've heard Brother Williamson many times, Brother Joshua many times talk about what the gospel is not. I heard a message on it today. I heard a message on it yesterday. See, that's the defense of the gospel. Now, because of that, I want to invest in what this church is doing and fellowship you because of the confirmation and the defense of the gospel. You say, well, brother, that's what we've always done. Let me tell you this. I come from a place where it's not done. I come from a place that is total liberal. I don't know of a church that uses the King James. Not one where I live. Now, there's others in Louisiana that do. But in my neck of the woods and my fellowship, it's mostly messed up community. I mean, they went on from Pentecostal Assembly of God. Now we're into this community church thing, which means I'm nothing. Okay? And they don't use the King James Bible. They don't preach the gospel that I believe. And so I don't fellowship them. We live in America. They have a constitutional right to do what they want to. Because that document guarantees you the right to worship God according to the dictates of your own heart. I believe in that and I support that. But I've got a greater document than that. It's called the Bible. And I'm going to fellowship people based on what the Bible says and not based on what the Constitution says. We got a higher authority than our founding fathers. And that's not what they were about anyway. They were trying to give a nation that had come out of tyranny and those reprobate old reformists, amen. Let me say this while I'm right there. The Dark Ages. Oh, we got to find out about this founder of this Lutheran church and the founder of this church and the founder of that church and all of them got phony doctrine, amen. I mean, when you start baptizing, baby, don't come talking to me about preaching the gospel. When you start talking about baptizing babies, don't come to me and say, well, they preach the gospel too. How do you preach the gospel if you baptize a baby? It denies the very gospel of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. So when the reformers politically pulled away from the Holy Roman Empire, that satanic deal called the Catholic Church, amen. They pulled out of that. There was a light already shining. They were just called Waldenses and Paulicians and Anabaptists. They were the churches in the Piedmont area and the areas of the Alps where they would not recant their faith. You know why they were called Anabaptists? Because they rebaptized people. I hope this church does that. Yeah. If they come in my church, first thing I want to know is, where's your profession now? Well, here's what I do. You need to come about 3 months and just listen. See what we believe. And if I don't know them, just come a while and listen. That's what I tell them. And we've got people, you know, that's come in there. And I say, okay, well, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I got saved. Where'd you get saved? Well, I had a lady tell me this last week. I was raised Jehovah's Witness. I said, well, Jehovah's Witnesses is a cult. They ain't preaching no gospel. And we ain't taking nobody out of a Jehovah's Witness. But if you come out of a baptismal, if you don't have, is it okay to say scriptural baptism here?
Yes, sir.
Water baptism
right. By
the hands of a scriptural church?
Right.
And I'm not taking no baby baptism.
Nope.
We're going to rebaptize you
right. If
you're saved. You got an experience of grace.
Right.
Jesus Christ dwells in your heart. We have some qualifiers for that. Amen. And so we need to, so the defense and the confirmation of the gospel to engage the fellowship. And that's why your pastor preaches so many preachers, and they go out and we preach what we do, and we reaffirm, we confirm the gospel that we're fellowshipping. Amen. Amen. Not only in personally, but listen, folks, I want my church, and we've moved into this area. Brother Joshua knows this. Brother Herbert knows this. I want my church to be in fellowship with this church. Even from Louisiana. I want us to have a fellowship among the churches. You know, Brother Bell went from here out to Oklahoma City, so that ties the church, but the fellowship of the churches. There's nothing sweeter after a godly marriage and a godly family than a church in sweet fellowship.
Amen.
With other churches.
Right.
Isn't it a blessing?
Yes,
to have a gathering of churches?
Amen.
My old pastor, they called it a fellowship meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be 25 preachers there.
Yep.
And people was glad to be there. It wasn't something we stuck on top of everything else going on. You know, one reason we can't have a good service nowadays, even got the best churches, we got so much going on.
Yep, you're right, sir.
And we say, okay, we're going to run in here and stick this on everything that's going on.
Yep.
God don't work like that, folks. Let me give you a little, this is one of my little pet sticklers. God don't get on your priority list. You don't put God first, and then second, third, and fourth, fifth, sixth. So when you put God on this list, what happens is God gets moved down when something else you deem more important has moved up. So I can't go to church for this reason. Or, you know, I can't give or I can't do it because of this. Something else is coming. You don't make God number one priority. You make God preeminent.
Amen.
And there's a big difference in preeminence and priority. Preeminence is the one and only in everything.
Amen.
I mean, he's the God of my marriage, the God of my job, the God of my pocketbook,
Amen.
The God of my fellowship. He's my one and only.
Amen.
Not one among many.
Right.
And a lot of people got him as one among many. So we have this fellowship. Now, let me say this, and I'm gonna wind her down because we got work to do tonight, what we're about doing. For us to have fellowship in the gospel, it must be fellowship in the straight and narrow way.
Right.
It's got to be in the straight and narrow way. Because wide is the way and broad is the gate that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. I'm not trying to fellowship them. I'm not trying to fellowship them. It has to be in the straight and narrow way. It has to be in the church that Jesus started. Jesus Christ began his church.
Yes, sir.
And I can say a lot about that.
Yes.
But he began his church. It has to be the straight and narrow way.
Amen.
It has to be doctrinally right.
Yep.
The gospel, you have to believe. You can't fellowship in the gospel if somebody's preaching a perverted gospel.
Right.
Okay? So it has to be the fellowship in the straight and narrow way. And we got to be careful to take hold of this. And let me say something else, because music is a big part of our worship. And God tells us to do it.
Right.
He says, enter into my presence with singing. He says, singing to make a melody in your heart to the Lord. We sing congregational, we sing specials and all that. But we do not fellowship a bunch of people just because us and a bunch of perverted gospel people but like the same songs. We don't gather up around singing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We gather up around the scriptures.
Yeah.
We gather up around the gospel and singing and joy and melody in our heart, just giving praise to God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not, well, we all like the same music. That's too wide.
Right.
That's too broad.
Right.
No, you can't fellowship like that. It's got to be fellowship in the straight and narrow way. And we're also not doing it for success.
Right.
Now, I'm just to put something into this because I know that the church is in expansion mode. And I like that. I think we ought to expand. The church ought to grow. The ministry ought to grow. And I like that. But I just thought God put this in my heart to put it on this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read these few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 7. You see, When a church is successful in the ministry and expansion is on and we're growing and God's blessing and using us, we get vulnerable. We get real vulnerable. God told Israel when he brought them into the promised land, he said, you write my words, my laws upon your hands, upon your doorposts, entering your house, coming out, and use them as frontlets for your eyes, lest when you go into the land and possess houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant, lest thou be full and forget me. Well, guess what happened? They didn't do what God said. Went into the promised land and immediately forgot God. One generation. And so here's what God does. God tempers our success. Every preacher knows this. Every preacher that's been called, has got the Spirit of God, what we call and believe to be a God-called preacher, God tempers your success. Now let me say something I'm fixing to say right here. There's a lot of these birds that call themselves preachers that are successful all the time, every time. And churches like that. And so they line up meetings for 100 years out because they're always successful. They never, they're built up and it's 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 built up. God don't work like that. Let me read these verses to you right here. Verse 7. This is the greatest preacher that ever lived with the greatest ministry that ever was. This man was more successful than any of us would ever altogether hope to be. God used this man. Of course, he was the chosen vessel. We understand that. God did things with Apostle Paul he ain't doing nobody else. But he is a pattern for me and you. And here's the deal, brethren. We ain't always going to be what we call successful. What happens is we get exalted above measure. Now, Paul didn't say, I'm going to exalt myself. The ministry of success, when our ministries are successful and we just pile success upon success upon success, other people exalt you. And you get exalted above measure. So God tempers what we do. This is why it's so hard, what we call hard for us preachers, when we preach meetings and we endeavor to do this and have a revival or campaign or whatever it is we're doing. I mean, a lot of times you see very little success in it. One reason is God knows we're so stinking prideful. We pilfer the glory for ourselves. And so God don't let us do that. So he says here in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. How would you like that? The messenger of Satan that goes with me everywhere I go. Paul did not like that. But God had it on him for a reason. It wasn't that Paul would be exalted in himself. It was that others would not exalt him above measure. You see, God didn't want all the tribes of Israel. He said, now you're going to, in the social part of the law, he said, one tribe not going to get everything. And he gave boundaries. And when he said remove not the ancient landmarks, we preach that as doctrine, and that's good. But over there, he's really talking about this, they had this land, and they did not want them, God did not want one tribe to absorb everything. Amen. And so churches, there's bigger churches and smaller churches. And we can all be part of the ministry in the fellowship sense. But God ain't gonna let the churches having the ministry be exalted above measure among other churches. People will do that. And so what God does is tempers you according to his own sovereign will. And so when you have Marathon, I'll be honest with you. I've been involved now in them for several years. Last one was easy. I mean, I thought that was relative. Y'all might not have thought it was easy, but down there on my part, it was easy. But see, there's a little struggle going on. And God tries us. And it's not about if we got faith enough, and it's not about if we ask enough, and it's not about if we pray enough, and it's not about if we believe enough. Sometimes God says, no, you're gonna struggle for this one. I'm not gonna let this thing be exalted above measure. Every time you come in here, it's just, it just rains out of heaven on you. And there's other reasons than that. So God tempers the church. He tempers preachers. He tempers the ministry. I tell you something, folks. These fellas that's always successful. Here's what happens. This is what happens. Their ministry outgrows the church. Here's another reason why I fellowship this endeavor. Because it's under the ministry of this church. And if it ever grows out from under the ministry of this church, I'm fishing to unhook from it. I'm just being honest about it. I've done seen that happen. Matter of fact, I was involved in as a worker in a distribution business that distributed Christian literature, and it outgrew the church. And then I turned around. This is years ago, right after I got saved. I turned around, and we were in the distribution business, and they sent me Benny Hinn's books. And so I called my boss. I said, I ain't putting that out. He's an absolute nut. Ain't nothing godly about him. I said, I'm not. He said, well, I know. He said, I tell you what. He said, now this is true. He said, I tell you what. He said, well, you know, God wants us to make a profit. I said, not at that expense, he doesn't. He said, just put those out. I won't send you no more. I said, no, I tell you what. I'm serving my notice. I'm out. I want out. If the boss don't have enough sense to know that you don't peddle that stuff to make a profit, I don't want to be a part of it. Is that okay? And folks, they were rolling in success. Matter of fact, the name of the business was Successful Living. And they were extremely successful. And what happened is the three men that began this ministry all were exalted above measure. These publishers was putting them on display. They were heralding them. They were getting them to teach seminars on how to do it. You know what happened to that? All three of those men got to the point where they couldn't stand each other. So much success, it went to their head. And it got ruined. And so what God says here, he allows things. Paul said, now, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And God said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So irregardless of what happens in the marathon, God's grace is sufficient. And God may want to slow things down. I don't know. I'm not God. I have no idea. I just know what that in the Bible. So what happens is the Lord tempers this thing. He makes us pray more. He makes us work harder. He makes us give more. He makes us struggle more. And it keeps us, all of us, in whatever it is we're doing, from being exalted above measure. And the last thing, and I'll mention this and won't turn to scriptures, but you can't have fellowship in the gospel and fellowship in the world.
Right.
And that's one thing. I'm not fellowshipping worldly, contemporary, so-called gospel music.
Right.
I'm not doing it. I don't like it. I don't think it's godly.
Right.
People can listen to whatever they want to. But we're talking about fellowshipping.
Right.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial?
Right.
What fellowship hath light with darkness?
Yep.
So God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters. And so he said, having these promises, let us cleanse our hands from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So whatever we touch in the ministry has got to be holy and clean and pure. And we can't fellowship with the world or at the standards of the world to be successful. So we can preach the gospel. No, you profane it. You corrupt it. A little leaven is a whole lump.
Right.
And so, with joy and real and sincerity, I rejoice in the Lord to know this church.
Amen.
And I don't have the part that the church has in the ministry. I understand that, but I got a little part. And I want to do my part.
Amen.
And I want to do it with joy. And I want to fellowship you in the gospel of our Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And I want our churches to be involved. And there may be some churches out there tonight that's listening. Some of these preachers that love to preach on the radio. You need to lead your churches. Here's what I think. If I'm going to use this in my ministry, I'm going to support it.
Amen.
And a lot of people, a lot of preachers think the blessings of God only come one way. And that's to me, to the preacher. And I hear, oh, you can't believe what all God gave me and gunned me and gave me and done for me. And man, a red flag goes up because Paul said, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And some of these churches that are tied to the ministry, and some of these preachers that are tied or have their churches involved in this, they need to lead their churches to be a help in this. Amen. And if you've got enough confidence to put your message on the platform of what's been published here, then you ought to support what they're doing.
Amen.
And that's what I believe. And that's why I support it.
Amen.
And that's why I'm here.
Amen.
And I pray that God greatly blesses it. What do we want most of all? God to be glorified and souls to be saved.
Right.
We want people to be saved. And I really believe this with all my heart, and I'm through. I believe if God sees my interest in Madisonville, Kentucky, in the ministry of Island Ford Church and getting souls saved through your ministry, that He is pleased to work in my ministry.
Right.
And He's pleased to save souls down there. Where it's not just all about me and my little world.
Right.
That's why we send missionaries all over the world.
Amen.
And let us do it, brethren. Not grudgingly nor of necessity, but cheerfully,
yeah,
joyfully, thankfully,
amen,
to be a part of the fellowship of the gospel. Brother Shepard.